say is at a crucial stage. It's not because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people try to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing wet. Taking your right to self-defense. They say you're safer, but they don't make sense. Not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. And I certainly hope everybody is just having a fantastic Tuesday, because that's when the show is indeed live. This is Tuesday night. It is 5/21/2019 by the date, and I am scheduled to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Mr. Josh Bernstein, host of the Amazon TV talk show, Amazon Studio, the Josh Bernstein Show. Surprise, surprise. Of course, he has been doing radio, he's done TV, he's been part of combos out there. I was just at the battle for a while now. And he has been a regular on the annual Look Ahead, Look Back shows on a fairly regular basis as well. So he has been here. But since I didn't end up doing that particular show this year for whatever reason, time got away and I couldn't seem to get enough folks scheduled for one time or another. So it's been over a year since Josh has been with us, so it should be interesting this evening, as we will be discussing, well, we'll be talking a little bit about Representative Rashid Tlaib. So should be interesting to get his take on that. So as I said, welcome to everybody. Thanks to everyone who is here and listening. Certainly hope that you're having a great time. Let's jump into the broadcast, shall we? First half of the show, this is a one-hour broadcast, so first half of the show is important for me to get this off right. And still trying to get the last of this, whatever it is, has been down in my lungs, up out of them. So still coughing, unfortunately, sometimes uncontrollably. It seems like whenever I'm on the air, it's exacerbated, but we'll try to keep it to a minimum. The primary point we're going to start with this evening is this little bit of information that was released to us this past Monday. You see, Georgia Republican Representative Doug Collins released a transcript of former Attorney General Loretta Lynch's testimony when she was in front of the House Oversight and House Judiciary Committees. Now, according to the former Attorney General, the Attorney General under Barack Obama during his second term, the Attorney General that under Barack Obama had a secret clandestine meeting with Bill Clinton as the Hillary Clinton email scandal was being investigated. She had some interesting things to say, starting with the fact that she says that she never instructed former FBI Director James Comey to call the probe into the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's private email server a matter instead of an investigation. Now, why is that important? Why does that matter? Well, again, language is important. Words have meaning. And within the legal profession in particular, when it comes to law enforcement and even more so in court, words have a great deal of meaning and power. The difference between an issue or a matter in relationship to an investigation has to be handled in a much more formal manner. Lots of the things that transpired here would have required accusals, would have required such a tarmac airport meeting with Bill Clinton to have never occurred, whether she's directly overseeing the investigators or not. According to these transcripts, back last December when she was giving this testimony, she says, in fact, that, and I quote, "I did not. This is what Loretta Lynch told the committee when she was asked if she had insisted that James Comey refer to the investigation as a matter. She says, "I did not." She also says, quoting again, "I have never instructed a witness as to what to say specifically. Never have, never will." And she also said, "In the meeting that I had with Comey, we were discussing how best to keep Congress informed of progress and discuss requesting resources for the department overall. We were going to testify separately." Now, if you'll recall, back in June of 2017, during an interview under oath with the House Intelligence Committee, former FBI Director James Comey said something a little different. In fact, just as a refresher, back to quoting, the statement was in, quote, "The Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me." That's directly from Comey's testimony. Comey suggested this was, in fact, consistent with the nomenclature of the Clintons, saying, quote, "The Clinton campaign at the time was using all kinds of euphemisms, security review, matters, things like that, for what was going on. We were getting to a place where the Attorney General and I were both going to have to testify and talk publicly about. And I wanted to know, was she going to authorize us to confirm we had an investigation? And she said, yes, but don't call it that. Call it a matter. And I said, why would I do that? And she said, just call it a matter." But you see, according to this testimony, Loretta Lynch has denied that there were any word games with Comey. She says that's not the case. In fact, she said, excuse me, she said, "We were sticking with policy, and that was my position on that. I didn't direct anyone to use specific phraseology. When the director asked me how to best to handle that, I said, what I've been saying is we have received a referral and we are working on the matter, working on the issue, or we have all the resources we need to handle the matter, handle the issue. So So that was the suggestion that I made to him. Now, when asked about how she would respond to Comey's accusations, Lynch said that it was unexpected, saying, quote, "I was quite surprised when he categorized it in that way." Now, Comey continues to insist that there was no case to charge Clinton for using a private email server to conduct the classified business of the State Department, and says there is, and I quote, "zero chance she will be prosecuted in the future." Zero chance. Now, I would love to know exactly what it is he's basing that idea on. I would love to know exactly what the thought process was, because he wasn't saying it just then. He's still saying it now. Clearly, the former Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, and the former FBI Director, James Comey, both of which I trust about as far as I could throw an elephant, seem to be at odds with each other. But this is just kind of par for the course. Since word is out that Attorney General William Barr is investigating the origins of the Russian collusion investigation, we get a lot of, well, what appears to me like pretty straightforward backbiting. We're getting to a point where there's almost a fevered finger pointing. There's definitely a back and forth. We're probably days away from name calling. Various people who are aware that their names are going to figure prominently in this investigation are trying to distance themselves from the investigation, and they're trying to distance themselves from one another because they know, chances are, here's what's going to play out. Before I go any further, quick shout out to Bigfoot and to Chief who have joined us in the chat room. Hey, Bigfoot. Hey, Chief. Glad to have you here. Here's what's most likely going to play out. We, the American people, have been wanting, we have been needing some level of accountability for the actions that we see are clearly wrong, clearly unethical. And even through legal gymnastics, there's at least some of these actions that remain clearly illegal. Someone will be made a scapegoat. Someone will end up being charged. None of these people want to be the sacrificial lamb because they were all being good little soldiers in the name of the Democratic Party. They were all being good little soldiers in the name of the Clinton campaign. They were all just doing their job as it was explained to them as they were appointed to each position. Positions that are supposed to be in the bureaucracy. Positions that are supposed to be above the political. Positions that are supposed to have the trust of the American people above and beyond that of elected officials. Sorry. The reason these positions are supposed to do that is because this is law enforcement. This is holding people accountable when they break our laws. They're supposed to be the top cop in the land when you're the district attorney. And when you're the director of the FBI, you're supposed to be the guy making sure that the strongest investigative powers within the U.S. are being operated appropriately and in accordance, not just with constitutional precedent, but within the confines of the law and within the confines of what is right as opposed to what is wrong. Now, of course, there's lots of people on the left that want to tell us there is no objective right or wrong. That's racist. That's bigoted. That's white supremacy. All of this right or wrong business is subjective. Quick shout out to Duck and Dive, who's joined us in the chat room. At the end of all of this, what we see are the scatterings of the cockroaches as the light switch has been flipped. And my, don't we see a lot of them scattering to the dark corners, quickly trying to get themselves into the comfortable, moist, murky confines of the swamp from which they have enjoyed dwelling for so long. You know, in a lot of ways, it is difficult to point a finger at Loretta Lynch and blame her for behaving like a political operative. That's how she got the job. It would be the same thing with Lois Lerner at the IRS when they were targeting Tea Party organizations. Now, she should have known, both Loretta Lynch in this case, and Lois Lerner, if you want to point it out, and Eric Holder before Lois Lerner, and James Comey should have known as well. All of these people should have known that their job is not supposed to be political. That they're supposed to stand as a sensory against politicalization of their organizations. That is supposed to be the job. But that's not how the job was explained to them. That's not how they got the job, because if they weren't willing to be political operatives, they would have never been appointed. It's just that way. So as much as I want to see these people who should have known and who I truly believe did know, did understand, and still refuse to stand on a principle, as much as it would make me happy to see accountability of some kind, ultimately, all these folks are going to do, at best, one, maybe two, will get a smack on the wrist, and the true guilty parties in this mess will be given a free pass, either because of a lack of political will to go after the people that are truly responsible, or simply because too many people are going to believe the utterings of someone like a James Comey when they step back and they tell you that no reasonable prosecutor would take this case, that there will never be a prosecution of Hillary Clinton over these private emails. Ultimately, if there is never a prosecution of Hillary Clinton, it's only going to be because of the continuing pattern of mysterious deaths and suicides in regards to people who had information that could have been used against the Clintons. Oh, there I go again. There's my tinfoil hat. I've got it on. Obviously, I folded it up nice and neat, had it pressed, making it look pretty. But tell me I'm wrong. Show me where I'm wrong. We have seen, we've been watching for decades now, how people who had access to information that could have potentially been damaging have managed to meet an untimely and in some cases unusual demise. An unusually large number of suicides involving this, even some of them under difficult to explain circumstances of how you come to the conclusion that it was suicide. And that's about the most diplomatic way I can put it. Right now, I'm feeling generous enough to try and word things to give the maximum benefit of the doubt. Do I want to see James Comey answer for what he's done wrong in this scenario? Absolutely, especially given his Jussie Smollett attitude of, I'm the victim, I'm the hero, only I had enough integrity to stand up and do what's right attitude that he's demonstrated. Do I want to see Loretta Lynch answer for the things that she did wrong? Oh, absolutely. Do I want to see Eric Holder held accountable for what he did wrong? Hillary Clinton? Yes. Barack Hussein, Allahu Akbar, Obama, unquestionably, undeniably, I want to see full accountability for what they have done wrong. I'm not asking for undue prosecution. I'm not asking for us to just pile on and lock them away with no evidence, no trial, no due process. I want them to answer for what they've done, and I want full due process, so there is no excuses. Are we ever going to get that? Not likely. Maybe the best we can hope for is to see eventually an Andrew McCabe answer for something that he probably had little to anything to do with, other than the fact that when he realized what was happening, he didn't have the stones to step up, stand up, stand on principles, and do the job as it's supposed to be. Like the others, he went along and he did the job as it was explained to him when he was assigned, when he was appointed. Like the others, they chose to be political operatives in a position that is supposed to be the opposite of that. They chose to be political operatives in a position that you cannot honestly do if you choose to be a political operative. Eric Holder said many times he was Barack Obama's wingman. Barack Obama didn't need a wingman. He barely did anything. But Eric Holder, he has made it clear since he took the position that his job was a political one. He chose not to pursue the voter intimidations of the new Black Panther parties. He chose time and time again to ignore criminal activities clearly associated with his people. That's his words. The job requires you to pursue enforcement of the law. And in regards to who's violating said law, there is supposed to be no acknowledgement of color, creed, religion, national origin. No, in the pursuit of the law, in the pursuit of the closest thing our system provides to justice, it is supposed to simply be dispassionate and in accordance and adherence with the laws of the U.S. federal government and the United States Constitution. That is how the job is supposed to be. There's a reason why the lady holding the scales has a blindfold on. James Comey knew that. Loretta Lynch knew that. Andrew McCabe knew that. Clapper knew that. Brennan knew that. Holder knows that. All these people know it, and they sit back from their little place on high, and they laugh at us. They laugh at people like me every time I say, "What about justice?" Just like Nancy Pelosi laughed when some reporter asked her, "Where do you get the constitutional authority to pass Obamacare?" And she just laughed. And her response was, "Are you kidding me?" See, the COG has joined the conversation as well. Welcome to the chat room, COG. Glad to have all you guys here. No, you see, we're not important enough to expect justice. We're not important enough to challenge or question them. How dare we? How dare we have the nerve to even suggest that somehow they are answerable to us? See, they've forgotten a long time ago what the public sector actually means. They've forgotten a long time ago that there's a reason why it's called public service when you hold an elected office or when you're in the bureaucracy. They've forgotten because no one's held them accountable. I truly believe that William Barr is going to hold someone to some level of accountability. And I really hope I'm wrong about the next part, but I unfortunately also fully believe that it's going to be about like a lot of other occasions that we've seen in the past where somebody's chosen to be the fall guy. That's the one person that will be held accountable at any level, and that accountability will be tempered and weak in comparison to the exaggerations that we've seen put on people of the other political stripe. All right, so with that being said, it is now time for the Edwards Notebook and then the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. And then after that, maybe then we'll have Mr. Josh Bernstein on, or at least we'll be really close to it at any rate. But let's bring on Ron Edwards first. I'll be right back.
President Trump is correct in his decision to stand up to China, but are tariffs the only way to show that he means business? Hello, I'm Ron Edwards on today's page from the Edwards Notebook. For decades, China has been allowed to take full advantage of the United States via trade deals that favored that nation. As a result, China has imposed unfair tariffs against U.S. products since the 1980s. The Chinese government is predatory in its ongoing efforts to steal intellectual property and harvest the fruits of freedom while imposing a brutal communist dictatorship over the Chinese people and threatening Taiwan. Yes, tariffs are a good way to hit back at China. I believe that slapping a huge carbon tax on every single product China exports to our republic would not only contribute to the reduction of the trade deficit, but also bring more needed attention to China being the number one polluter of the Earth's environment. Whether it's plastics in the ocean or unchecked burning of dirty unfiltered coal. So keep up the good work, Mr. President, and also utilize a carbon tax on Chinese products. And use the surplus to help our U.S. farmers. I'm Ron Edwards. Join me Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on AmericaMatters.us and catch a page from the Edwards Notebook on our newest affiliate, Saturdays on AM 1600 WAAM, Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Sponsored by David E. Garrett Jewelers.
Dan Perkins here with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. Many veterans are unsure what benefits they have earned for their service. Here is your Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA can't help you until they know who you are. So go to the VA.gov website and look for a DD-214. Fill it out and you'll get a copy of your service record. Take it to the local VA office to see what benefits you can qualify for. You protected us, so it's time for America to protect you. This has been your Veterans Tip of the Day.
Like a thousand years since we had real fears, but the old ones won't forget. These broken levee walls had a few close calls, but they haven't fallen yet. And you know the rain's coming, the rain's coming, all your days and all your nights. It brings a storm on you when the sun beats down and it bakes the ground and you watch the rich land die. Such a vicious drought, even hopes in doubt, but there are no clouds in the sky. But you know the rain's coming, the rain. In all your nights, it brings a storm on you. When you feel the first drop fall, when it kisses your skin, the storm will begin to bring with it promise of change. When you
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you so much for staying with us through that very brief break. And it is my pleasure and honor to welcome back to the show, first time in a little over a year, Mr. Josh Bernstein. He's, of course, the host of the Josh Bernstein Show. Josh, welcome back. We've certainly missed you here. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to be back on the program with you.
All right. Well, obviously, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and I know you've got certainly a hot take with Representative Rashida Tlaib and her little statements recently in regards to the Holocaust. I don't think there's any question for most people. She certainly has a very strong anti-Semitic lean. It's been made pretty clear. Yet I've still heard some folks trying to defend her yet again. I really don't know how much longer they're going to be able to get anybody to buy into this, but love to get your take.
Yeah, look, there's no question about it. I mean, it's her, it's Ilhan Omar, it's, you know, occasional Cortex, as I like to call her. And, you know, these people just absolutely are getting away with being these horrific people and horrific monsters, and that's really, truly what they are. I mean, for her to say that she gets a warm, calming, fuzzy feeling when she thinks about the Holocaust, and to not have every single Jewish member of the House of Representatives and the Senate, as well as even around the country Jewish leaders, not asking for her resignation and to be condemned for these comments, is a very scary, scary position to be in. It almost reminds me of the complacency and apathy towards the Nazis that many Jews in Europe had during World War II or in the lead up to World War II. You know, and one of the things that she said is absolutely historically inaccurate and factually incorrect. She said that the Palestinians created a safe haven for the Jews. This is absolutely not a true statement. Palestinian leaders such as the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, Haji Muhammad Amin al-Husseini, openly collaborated with Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party. As a matter of fact, during World War II, the Mufti was involved in the mobilization of support for Germany and their efforts to eliminate the Jews, which they obviously had a common goal, a commonality there, because they both hate Jews. So in 1941, the Grand Mufti met with Adolf Hitler to help him strategize how to persecute the Jewish people. Moreover, according to historian Benny Morris, Palestinian Arab leadership actually rejected a one-state solution way back when that was offered by the British prior to the Second World War, because the British insisted that they accept 75,000 new Jewish immigrants, which, of course, they opposed. So much for a safe haven. Unbelievable statement she made.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Josh, it's not the first time we have seen revisionist history from people that are Islamic apologists, or actually just people in the Democratic Party in general, for that matter. But we have millennials. We have Generation Z. We've got people out here that are old enough to vote now, are one of the bigger voting blocks in the millennials, who this is not a history they're familiar with. So lots of folks on the left are able to get away with this kind of revisionist history. And it takes people like you laying those facts out just like that. This is going to be a real problem moving forward, though, because if we don't get our message out, and we're constantly being deplatformed left and right. People are getting knocked off social media. People are getting knocked off YouTube, and we're being silenced because we choose to tell the truth. And it is outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous, the extent of this. But I kind of got the feeling that this was just another way of testing the temperature of the water, if you will, Josh. I think they were checking to see with this statement how much we're willing to let them get away with this revisionist. Did you get kind of the same feeling?
Well, look, in some respects, I mean, look, there's a petition that has over 300,000 signatures to have her removed from Congress, mainly because she lied about living in the 13th district in Michigan. And even her own father outed her to the Detroit Free Press, saying that she did not live in the district. So there is that petition that's going on. But I mean, you have these people like Ilhan Omar, who, by the way, was one of only two representatives in Minnesota to vote to continue funding the families that lost loved ones during terrorist and martyrdom operations. She actually voted to continue the funding. She's also a big supporter of female genital mutilation, of course. She's as radical as they get. She made the House change a 183-year rule to not be able to have head coverings in Congress now because she wants to wear her little terrorist scarf. She's now changed the rules to where she can wear her scarf. It's absolutely ridiculous how we kowtow to these minorities at the expense of regular Americans. I mean, how many Jews are running around saying that they want to wear their yarmulkes in Congress? None of them, because they understood and respected the rule. But yet they weren't, you know, yelling and screaming like a five-year-old to get it changed so that they could have special treatment. You know, it's just ridiculous. And it's this type of behavior, this kowtowing, if you will, and coddling to these people that clearly do not have America's best interest at heart is what's really scary for our national security. I mean, this woman's on the Committee for Foreign Affairs, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, there's no question. I think Ilhan Omar is far scarier than Rashid Tlaib based on their outward statements. Omar has made it clear she's more interested in helping the people in Mogadishu and supporting the notion that somehow Americans were the aggressors and the bad guys during the fight against the warlords there. She's reached out to Turkey's president, if you want to call him that. I don't think that's a title he actually deserves. And there's just so many things. Being married to your brother, I think Omar certainly makes the case of why our immigration and our refugee programs are in desperate need of a little bit of fixing. But still, we keep seeing these testing of the waters, and we really, really do need to be mindful of exactly what the end result is, because we are also working against a mainstream media that wants to tell people that the statements you just made, Josh, it's Islamophobia and it's hate and it should be squashed.
Yeah, the problem is though the media will never tell you what I just told you, because they don't believe in giving the American people the truth, number one. And number two, even if they knew what the truth was, they would never report it because it's not politically correct to do so. And you can clearly see that the political correctness cancer gene has infected our Pravda media to the point where they have lied for well over 2 years about Russia, Russia, Russia. We now found out that it's not Russia. It's not the British. It's the CIA. The CIA did this. They're the ones that hacked into the Trump election, and then they used Project Umbrage, which we found out through WikiLeaks Vault 7, to mask the IP addresses and make them look like they're coming from Russia and other countries. And who was the director of national intelligence during the 2010 to 2017 period when this all went down? James Clapper, who was the director of the CIA from 2013 to 2017? Clearly, John Jihad Brennan. So look, John Brennan and Jim Clapper are the two in particular that did all of the spying. It was their program, Project Umbrage, that we learned about through WikiLeaks and Vault 7. They were the ones that masked the IP addresses, made it look like they were coming from Russia. They hated Russia. They hated Vladimir Putin. It was an easy target, so we could tell the media that it was the Russians. Meanwhile, it was the CIA the entire time. And we had an MI6 British spy, Christopher Steele, create a Russian dossier, and we're supposed to believe that the Russians did this? Really? Amazing. We're not that stupid, and these people are finally going to be held accountable.
Speaking of being held accountable, that was a big part of what I was talking about before you came on, especially with this released testimony from Loretta Lynch and how it seems that we have yet another individual that was involved with this trying to separate themselves and distance themselves not only from anything involving Hillary's email, which is also part of this Russian collusion investigation by virtue of how it was prioritized, but also trying to distance themselves from other people, in this case, James Comey, who they think may get caught up. How do you see this accountability playing out? I'm afraid that we're going to just get more of what we've always gotten in the past, and that is some low-level person is going to end up having to fall on the sword. They're going to be made a sacrifice, And then the real people that are responsible are probably going to end up relatively scot-free. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. What do you see?
Well, look, I think clearly, you know, there's major crimes that have been committed here. There's no question about it. I truly believe that a conference room meeting was called, you know, during the election at the White House, and it was run by Clapper and Brennan and Obama and Lynch and all the rest of them, and they brought in the you know, the top brass of the FBI and the top brass of the Department of Justice, and I have no doubt 50 or 60 of them were all in the same room with donuts and coffee, and they developed and devised the plan right then and there to do what they did. And hopefully, as these people start singing like canaries, this information is going to come out. The key to getting these convictions and everything is clearly one person and one person only, and that is Rod Rosenstein. There's a reason Rod Rosenstein stayed on when he was supposed to be fired a long time ago, because he is a useful tool to get to the others. I believe that when he was on the Air Force One jet to Florida with the president, they confronted him and they said, look, we know exactly what you did. We know that you were going to wear a wire. We know that you were going to try to invoke the 25th Amendment to take me out. We know that it wasn't a joke. It wasn't hearsay. It wasn't playing. We know that it was serious because we have evidence to prove such. So here's how this is going to work. You're going to stay on. You're going to work with my new Attorney General, Bill Barr. You're going to share the information that you know about the cover-up with Bill Barr, and we will give you immunity to testify against your deep state buddies. And you can clearly see that this is happening because you can see Rod Rosenstein is now attacking James Comey. Comey's attacking Rosenstein. Comey's now attacking Brennan. Brennan's attacking Comey. Clapper's attacking Brennan. They're all attacking each other. Why? Because they know that the writing's on the wall, and they know that Rod Rosenstein, more than anyone else, has the keys to the castle. He knows where all the bodies are buried. He knows where all the emails are at. And he alone can take down the entire deep state. And if he gets immunity and doesn't spend one second of time in jail, but he takes down all the rest of these people, I'm all for it.
Absolutely. All right, Josh, unfortunately, we are quickly running out of time. So before I let you go, please let everybody know where they can find The Josh Bernstein Show.
Sure. The Josh Bernstein Show plays on Amazon TV, Amazon Prime, Roku TV, also, of course, on YouTube. But my hub is at patreon.com/Josh Bernstein. I'm shadow banned on Twitter. I'm usually in Mark Zuckerberg's 30-day gulag from time to time, and I'm demonetized on YouTube. So please go to Patreon, patreon.com/Josh Bernstein, and you can contribute $5-$10 a month if you would like. You get all my shows there as well, and help me defeat censorship because I eat, sleep, and breathe protecting this nation.
Absolutely, and I can attest to that. Like I've told you before, I've been listening to you, Josh, since the Grit and Grace show. Of course, it was,
yeah, that's a long time ago.
Grace and Grit. Yeah, it's been a little bit.
I appreciate your ongoing support.
You've got a passion, you've got a fire, and I have not seen you relent. You keep marching forward, and that is the kind of grit we do need. So, again, thank you very much, Josh, and let's make sure it is not another year before we talk again.
Yeah, I was going to say, anytime, any topic, I'm game.
All right, sir. I will take you up on that. Ladies and gentlemen, fair Mr. enough. Josh Bernstein of The Josh Bernstein Show. All right, so there we have it. Straight up right there. No questions, no doubt. He's got a pretty strong vision there. And if you haven't been checking out The Josh Bernstein Show on Amazon or over on YouTube, wherever it's best for you, by all means do. I've actually been watching it for a bit as part of the Prime package. I'm surprised, quite honestly, that Amazon isn't making a move to deplatform. We are all facing threats of deplatforming right now. I've recently been whining a lot here on the radio, and I admit I'm whining about it, about my show being deplatformed from TuneIn.com, which really, really surprised me. it would not surprise me if this isn't a trend that does not continue, especially as long as we keep having guests on that are also telling you truth, that aren't afraid to speak up, that will not pull punches, and aren't afraid to be wrong sometimes, as long as you understand that when they are, they're willing to come back and say, hey, okay, so I got that one wrong, but here's why I thought this was happening. Here's why what did happen happened, and I'll still stand on my batting average. You know, it's if you're batting around 900, then you're still pretty daggum good. Of course, the left is going to pounce on that one time you're wrong. Excuse me. Taking a quick peek back in the chat room before we go any further. Bigfoot has joined us. COG is hanging out with us. Duck and Dive is in there. Chief is in here as well. And I look like Bringing It Boy was here for a bit and then popped back out. Hopefully he'll sneak back in before time runs out. In the meanwhile, let me tell you, as far as the conversation is concerned in here right now, we are discussing, COG has asked the question, do we think Loretta Lynch will roll on Obama and Hillary? I think her statements to this point have indicated that she's trying to distance herself so that she will claim she doesn't have information or knowledge that would be useful against either one. Ultimately, I think you're probably more likely to be able to put enough pressure on Obama if somehow you were able to get something to something as leverage other than the fact that we now have documents that make it clear that Barack Obama not only was aware but actually participated via sending emails to the private server. Now, we know that's the case now. Those documents are out. That is factual information that's available that the mainstream media is probably still going to deny. They're probably still going to tell you that, well, people like Tim Tapper are making that stuff up. Actually, to tell the truth, the mainstream media is probably going to tell you something like Sean Hannity is making that stuff up. They're probably not going to mention me. I'm still a little fry down here at the bottom of the pile. But that's all right, because it's from working from underneath that we can probably do the most damage. It is a situation where, again, we get so frustrated that we see these things continue to happen. Listening to Kel earlier at her show, her statements there towards the end where she's obviously feeling run down. She needs to recharge. I got to tell you, I've been feeling the same way myself. You've heard me struggling with this health issue. I missed nearly a week around Easter because of one thing, and then I've been fighting this other. I think it started out as a reaction to allergies, and then I got an infection to go along with it on top. I've been fighting it. About to have to start a new round of antibiotics since the first ones don't seem to have taken out. So believe me, I understand what you're talking about when you're feeling run down. You're wondering if you're having an impact. You see the numbers start to dwindle down a bit because of things like shadow banning, which is definitely happening to me over at Facebook. I'm surprised, quite honestly, I've not spent very much time in Facebook jail. I have had several of my posts removed that I've had to argue and fight with the powers that be over there to get them back up. And in some cases, they've still refused to repost. But I haven't spent very much time in Facebook jail, so I've gotten pretty lucky on that count. But I have been shadow banned at Facebook. Fewer and fewer people are seeing my posts, even the non-political ones. There's a small number of folks that pretty much get to see everything. And so there you go. I don't get much on the Twitter, but that's mostly because I spend almost no time on Twitter. In fact, I go long periods of time. I told you that, guys, several times before. But ultimately, when you see things like YouTube demonetizing and, you know, the stuff like that hurts. Right here, BTR has demonetized. It's my understanding, everyone, but honestly, I don't know if that's the case or not. Spreaker has a monetizing program in place, but I have not received any income since October of last year from it. It hasn't moved up at all. So they have demonetized me specifically, as I'm sure they have several other conservatives. So, again, that's why things like a Patreon page, like Josh is asking for a little help with, comes in really, really handy. Because it takes the power out of their hands. That's why at my website, Tap Into the Truth, I have links to PayPal. Of course, we've heard some of the bigger folks out there where PayPal refuses to handle transactions. So if we get far enough, it becomes even harder. There may be a point in time where we have to go direct blockchain cryptocurrencies transfers between ourselves if we're going to try and help support and improve shows. Excuse me. Beyond that, whether it's financial or whether it's just showing up, whether it's just listening, whether it's just sharing links, we do need to continue to support each other. I don't care where you're listening to. I don't care if you're right here in the chat room with us, if you're the host of another show, if you run your own blog post, if you just occasionally post passionate statements. We need to have each other's back. If you believe in at least 70% of the stuff that I spout, then please share 70% of the stuff I spout. Tell your friends about the show, the people that you think will at least appreciate 60% of it. And I'll do the same. Every broadcast. I'm on three different radio stations right now and hoping to bring in a fourth in the next couple of months. That's still kind of up in the air. And every single broadcast, I love the opportunity to mention patriotmusic.com. It's not an ad, although I'm sure they want to try and play it out that way. I don't say it as an ad. I like mentioning Matt Fitzgibbon's website because he's been good to me, and he's great at what he does. I like mentioning Chief's show, Simple Facts of Life. Great show. And I encourage you to look it up at blogtalkradio.com. I love mentioning Bigfoot's blog, which you can easily find over at bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. I love sharing information about Kel's show, trying to direct people there, whether it's Red Fox Blogger that you can hear on Mondays and Thursdays, or whether it's Infidels Are Watching, which you can hear on Tuesday evenings from 6 until 8, literally right before I come on Tuesday nights. Annie, same thing. I love sending people towards Annie's show. Go to her website. Same thing with Don Smith. I love the Don Smith show. I hope you guys are still listening to the Don Smith show. I don't get to listen live very often anymore because my Saturdays are pretty busy as things get warmer. I have more stuff to do and family stuff. And I know that stuff happens with everyone else. Chief put in 57.5638%. What is that the percentage of, Chief? Anyway, maybe Chief will tell us what that's about. My point still stands, regardless of who you are, whether you're out there, if you're listening to Ben Shapiro, if you're listening to Sean Hannity, if you're listening to... if you're listening to Glenn Beck, not a lot of folks that listen to this show are big fans of Glenn Beck. I've gotten a lot of feedback along that. Oh, that's the percentage of what Chief agrees with. Okay, I got you. Actually, Chief, I'm a little surprised it's that high. It's not that far from 60, so I'm doing pretty good. Oh, chief. But it doesn't matter who you're listening to, who you're supporting. We need to support each other. We can be perfectly frank about what we disagree with each other with. And you know what? That's been one thing that I've tried to make a point here, that as long as we're generally conservative and we have enough stuff that we have in common, then we can get along and we can work together on the stuff that we do agree with. And I'm not going to be angry with you because you disagree with me with something. And all I ask in return is that you don't be angry at me because you disagree with something. Just hear me out. And if you don't like what I'm saying on that part, guess what? Agree to disagree. We move on. No harm, no foul. You know, we used to be able to do that. You know, we actually used to be able to do that with both sides of the political aisle, at least folks that weren't that far to one side or the other. There's no room on the left now to do that. You cannot be a moderate, slightly to the left person. Not publicly. That might be where you are in reality, but as soon as you publicly say, hey, you know, that Tim guy is right sometimes. The chief says, at least you don't have 17 voices that are all angry at each other. This is true. But sometimes I do feel like we have some folks that are angry at us that should not be. People that are trying to fight the same fight. People that are on board with trying to save the republic and trying to stop socialism from taking over our country and trying to stop anti-Semitism from becoming a dominant force in this nation, trying to stop the civilizational jihad that's been ongoing since before the days of the Barbary pirates. We just whipped their backsides then. They went away quietly for a while, and now they're back. We have to stand in that doorway. We have to shout the truth loudly. We cannot be afraid, and we cannot shut each other out. Because it's up to us to help recharge everyone else. So I want everybody to send a little extra love Kel's way. She's obviously feeling the drag. I also want you to take to heart the message that we are indeed all in this together, because there's nothing truer. Heaven help us if Joe Biden becomes the next president of the United States, because while he likes to talk moderate, he's got 50 years of a track record in D.C. that points in the other direction. And that's going to have to be it for me for tonight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being here. Special thanks to the folks that were hanging out in the chat room. That, of course, being Bigfoot, COG, Duck and Dive, Chief, and, of course, Bringing It Boy, who was in here for a bit. Thank you so much for being here. And thanks to everyone else who's listening. And remember, no matter what else you may take away from this show, don't take my word for it. Just don't. I encourage you. Treat me like you don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Go out. Do your own research. Use multiple services. Try to find original sources whenever you can. But don't take my word for it. Be prepared to put in some effort, and more importantly, be prepared to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for now, everybody. I will be back tomorrow night. Hope that you will join me then. I am scheduled to have a makeup from last Sunday's with Ron Edwards. We'll see if he makes it. I'll see you then. I'm out, guys.
Just a little squirrel. is using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Gun control is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.